one lone person expressing himself as people gathered on Coles Hill above Plymouth Rock for the 53rd annual National Day of Mourning. This is a day when Native people speak for themselves, as they've done every year since 1970. Non-Natives also come to support, listen, and learn. This event is organized by UAINE, the United American Indians of New England. Kaisha James, daughter of Munanam James, who was one of the original co-founders of National Day of Mourning, took up her father's mantle and was the first to speak to the exceptionally larger-than-usual crowd who gathered here on this day.
So, why do so many Native people object to the Thanksgiving myth? According to this myth, the pilgrims, seeking religious freedom, landed on Plymouth Rock. The Indians welcomed them with open arms and then conveniently faded into the background, and everyone lived happily ever after, the end. Here is the truth. First, the pilgrims are glorified and mythologized because the circumstances of the first permanent English colony in North America, Jamestown, were too ugly to hold up as an effective national myth. Pilgrims and Indians are a much more marketable story than settler cannibalism. Second, the pilgrims came here as part of a commercial venture. They didn't need religious freedom. They already had that back in the Netherlands. The Mayflower Compact was merely a group of white men who wanted to ensure they would get a return on their investment. Third, when the pilgrims arrived, on Outer Cape Cod, by the way, not on that pebble down the hill, one of the first things they did was to rob Wampanoag graves at Corn Hill and steal as much of their winter provisions of corn and beans as they were able to carry. Fourth, some Wampanoag ancestors did welcome the pilgrims and save them from starvation. And what did we, the indigenous people of this continent, get in return for this kindness? Genocide, the theft of our lands, the destruction of our traditional ways of life, slavery, starvation, and never-ending oppression. Fifth, the first official Thanksgiving did not take place in 1621, when the pilgrims had a harvest-time meal provided largely by the Wampanoag. Instead, the first Thanksgiving was declared in 1637 by Governor Winthrop of the Massachusetts Bay Colony to celebrate the massacre of over 700 Pequot men, women, and children on the banks of the Mystic River in Connecticut. William Bradford of the Plymouth Colony wrote of this event, "Those that escaped the fire were slain with the sword. Some hewed to pieces. They thus destroyed about 400 at this time. It was a fearful sight to see them thus frying in the fire. Horrible was the stink and scent thereof, but the victory seemed a sweet sacrifice, and they gave the prayers thereof to God, who had wrought so wonderfully for them." Subsequent slaughters of indigenous people would be celebrated as a day of Thanksgiving, and yet we are labeled as savages in the history books. So why does any of this matter? It is simple. When people celebrate the myth of Thanksgiving, they are not only erasing our genocide, but also celebrating it. We did not simply fade into the background, as the Thanksgiving myth says. We have survived and flourished. We have persevered. The very fact that you are here is proof that we did not vanish. Our very presence frees this land from the lies of the history books and the myth makers. That first day of mourning in 1970 was a powerful demonstration of Native unity, and it has continued for all these years as a powerful demonstration of Indigenous unity and of the unity of all people who speak truth to power. We all know that racism is alive and well, and we will continue to gather on this hill until we are free from the oppressive system, until corporations and the U.S. military stop polluting the earth, until we dismantle the brutal apparatus of mass incarceration. We will not stop until the oppression of our LGBTQ siblings is a thing of the past, until unhoused people have homes, until human beings are no longer locked in cages at the U.S. border, despite the fact that no one is illegal on stolen land. Until Palestine is free. Until no person goes hungry or is left to die because they have little or no access to quality health care. Until insulin is free. Until union busting is a thing of the past. Until then, the struggle will continue. In 1970, very few people would have given any thought to the fact that the indigenous people of this hemisphere do not look upon the arrival of the European invaders as a reason to give thanks. Today, many thousands stand with us in spirit as we commemorate the 2022 National Day of Mourning. As my grandfather said back in 1970, we are now being heard. We are now being listened to. The important point is that we still have the spirit. We still have the unique culture. We still have the will and, most important of all, the determination to remain as Indians. We are determined, and our presence here is living testimony that this is only the beginning of the American Indian, particularly the Wampanoag, to regain the position in this country that is rightfully ours. In the spirit of Crazy Horse, in the spirit of Metacom, in the spirit of Geronimo, above all, to all people who fight and struggle for real justice, we are not vanishing, we are not conquered, we are as strong as ever.
National Day of Mourning co-host Kaisha James. Matone Monroe was the other co-host. She introduced a land acknowledgement announcement.
Melissa Harding Ferretti, who is the chair of the Herring Pond Wampanoag, was not able to be with us here today, but Melissa did ask us to do a land acknowledgement for the Herring Pond Tribe, because that's whose land we're on. So we've asked Reggie Alkowitz from North American Indian Center of Boston to do that.
Today, land acknowledgments are used by Native peoples and non-natives to recognize the first peoples of this land, who are the original stewards of this place where we live. Today I will offer a condensed version of a much longer acknowledgement. Today we give thanks to this sacred place at Pawtucket, what is known today as Plymouth. The sacred land that lies beneath our feet is at the home of what we call Wampanoag Nation and the traditional homeland of the Herring Pond Wampanoag Tribe. We have called this land home for thousands of years. Our ancestors are buried here, and our descendants can still be found here today, along with many other tribal communities and direct descendants of other tribes throughout the Commonwealth. The history of Plymouth and the Massachusetts colony as a whole is extremely complex. What happened here on these lands impacted all Native nations across New England and spread far and wide across this country and into the Canadian Maritimes. The spread of colonialization resulted in armed conflict, murder, assaults, enslavement, dispossession of land, and was a direct assault on all Native cultures and lifeways. As you begin your event here today, may you never forget the first people of this land.
Matone Monroe then returned to give her own address. She was impressed with the size of the crowd.
You know, this crowd is amazing. There are people from a lot of different Indigenous nations here, and it gives us strength to be together today. I also have to note that we have people who came from New York today, largely from the Haitian and Puerto Rican diaspora community, Taíno, Boricua. And we love having them here. They bring amazing energy, and we're so grateful that they like get up crazy early in the morning to take a bus and be here with us. We want to acknowledge that our Palestinian siblings who are here today. Holy smoke, I'm just looking out at the crowd, how big it is. It's real. We have a lot of people here. We're grateful, as always, to be here with our Black siblings, because our liberation is intertwined with yours. And with our Asian, South Asian, Latine, and white allies who are all here with us today. Thank you so much. You know, we have a lot of positive things happening in our communities, but this Thanksgiving Day is a day of mourning. We start out by acknowledging that a lot of people today are feeling pain from the violence that their communities are experiencing. In particular, we embrace and are part of the LGBTQ plus two-spirit and trans communities that are so under attack and are grieving the loss of family right now at Club Q in Colorado. As usual, we have a lot of things to talk about at National Day of Mourning. Some of our speakers today are Indigenous people whose nations are on the front lines of the climate crisis, suffering from floods, extreme heat. Despite this happening, climate conferences such as COP27 continue to have way too much useless talk without the necessary commitment and immediate action required to properly address what is happening. And they continue to largely exclude Indigenous people and voices. Everywhere, Indigenous peoples are resisting mega dams, lithium mines, copper mines, coal mines, gold mines, oil and gas pipelines, fracking, and so many other destructive projects. So we say today, hands off our land and water. Stop destroying our planet. We acknowledge that the current widespread attacks on reproductive rights affect all potential child bearers. We also point out that a reproductive rights crisis has existed for decades for Indigenous women, long before the overturn of Roe v. Wade. That crisis includes a lack of support to be able to bear and bring up children with decent food and housing and without having them stolen by settler agencies. It includes the need for free and safe abortion, and we cannot forget the former government practice of sterilizing Indigenous women and girls without consent, something that is still known to happen in Canada and that has happened in other countries as well. That is genocide. So we say today, hands and laws off our bodies. There are many important struggles happening right now that we won't have time to touch upon today. So I'm going to ask you to spend some time after today following United American Indians of New England and other Indigenous-led organizations on social media. And also start reading Indigenous media, because you're not going to learn anything from white reporters at the New York Times. I say that because it's 2022 and the New York Times still does not have a single Native reporter on its staff. So, but we want you to learn more about Indigenous movements here and internationally and what you can do to support them. So please try to educate yourself further after today. We really do a lot of education, all of our organizations, so please take advantage of that. You know, everywhere there are calls for land back and reparations. Our ancestors always taught us to demand the return of our lands. It is not a new idea. The land and water are in our blood and bones, part of our bodies, and we have never forgotten that. So ensuring that Indigenous peoples around the world can manage the land and water is documented to be much better for the earth. As part of urgently needed first steps to achieve justice and address climate change, let's ensure that no projects can go through any Indigenous nation's land without free, prior, and authentic informed consent. Take all of the land that is currently being mismanaged by settler governments, such as the national parks, and hand it over to Indigenous nations to caretake that land. That would mean the restoration of millions of acres. It would also mean the end of the desecration of sacred sites, such as the Black Hills. Land back needs to happen internationally. Thank you.
Mayan native Juan Gonzalez traveled up from Mexico to tell of the native struggles down there.
If you know the history of both countries, how your banana companies and all these transnationals had come and destroy us and steal our resources. Well, let me tell you something. If these guys here with you take power, they really gonna go and kill us all. This is really, really serious. So we need to get, you need to get really well organized. And it's possible. Look, our community is in Chiapas. If you can declare yourselves autonomous and cut off all the links with the federal, whatever government, and start from scratch, is possible. It's possible. It is painful, it's hard work, but it's possible. And the proof is there. I'm not asking you to come to our communities in Chiapas, but it's there. It's possible. Making a better planet is possible. Don't give up on that. In Guatemala, the younger generations are doing unbelievable things with the language, with the culture, with arts. Arts is a powerful weapon. The younger generations today, longer hair, just practicing their ancestral cultures more and more and more. Cutting from all these Christian organizations that we have there. So I just want to thank you for you to that came here today, which shows that you care. And we must care for each other and from our Mother Earth for this creation. And let's have it very clear. These are dangerous times. So stop giving your money to these companies. Yes. You know, everyone complains about Amazon, but what? We are still buying from them, you know? Come on. We need to have the courage to stop cutting and making weak all these horrible monster corporations that are destroying us. I mean, come on, you know that. Support your local businesses, you know, create small cooperatives. Everything is possible, you know. So again, thank you so much for being here. Believe me, it's possible. Zapata vive! La lucha sigue! Zapata vive! La lucha sigue! Zapata vive! La lucha sigue, sigue, sigue! Matios!
BU student and native Herbert Ward III carried on the tradition of reading the words from Leonard Peltier.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Before I begin the statement from Leonard Peltier, I'd just like to acknowledge the fact that I'm doing this because of the legacy of my grandfather, Black Eagle, also known as Dr. Herbert Waters, Jr. Yes! All right. Greetings, my relatives, friends, loved ones, and supporters. First, I want to say how deeply grateful I am that you would want to hear what I have to say. It's an honor to be with you in spirit, though I am far away. Being my age and having spent these many years in prison plays on your heart to the nth degree. I am here because I wanted to make a difference for our people, and I want to encourage others to do the same. My heart has not changed. and my intentions have not changed. The love and faith I have in our future generation has not changed. All the world now faces the same challenges that our people foretold regarding climate damage being caused by people who take more than they need. Dismissing the teachings of our fathers and the knowledge of countless generations living upon the earth in harmony. I may sound a bit dramatic and sensitive, but after all these years and the 78 journeys around the sun, I often feel and think that I should speak my mind and heart to whomever I can, whenever I can. Because at my age, you never know if you are going to live another 20 years or 20 minutes. Our people have been through a lot. Generations have been imprisoned, beaten, murdered, dispossessed of our lands, and they fought so we might live. We are proud of our ancestors. I have tried to make the best of my time upon the earth in my given circumstances. To say the least, this has not been an enjoyable life journey, but I am proud to have been given a chance to stand for our people. I encourage you to do the same. I'm not a speaker, but I have spoken. I am not a leader, but I have led. Having said this, knowing what I know now, feeling what I've felt, seeing what I've seen and hearing what I've heard, I would do it all over again. For, as our ancestors loved the future for us, I love all people who have walked upon this earth. I recognize her as the greatest manifestation of the Creator, and she should be recognized as such. On this day of mourning, I encourage you, with a hopeful heart, to continue to gather and have ceremony in remembrance of all our people, especially those who have given their lives so that we might live. Each of you has within you the potential to make a difference in the world. Each one of you has the opportunity and ability to do one act of kindness to someone in need, and one act to make the earth a better place for all life. I, with the help of others, have started a food forest movement. We encourage all people throughout the earth to plant at least one fruit-bearing tree. So that all the animals and all creatures of the earth will have healthier food, better air, and cleaner water. Forgive me if I've said too much or too little. Time in this place is often irrelevant to the task at hand. May the Creator bless you, your families, and all our peoples of like mind. Peace, love, and blessings. In the spirit of Crazy Horse, Daksha, Leonard Peltier. Mitakuye Oyasin. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is my honor to be here. My name is Justine Tiba. I am from the pueblos of Santa Clara, Tisuki, and Acoma, which are all tribes in New Mexico in the Southwest. We've come a long way to be here with you all. Kuntoha. I am also here representing the Red Nation. The Red Nation is an Indigenous liberation organization. We support the movement at all terms and advocate for Indigenous revolution so we may all live in dignity together. We are joining you today on this day of mourning to acknowledge that this day of Thanksgiving is yet another fictional story to uphold the settler fantasy. Thanksgiving is a lie, and like with all lies, we are liberated by the truth. This is my first time in Massachusetts. There's something about the land that has been colonized the longest that is unsettling, and something about the beauty of this land that's unsettling. I'm also want to say that I've been a member of the Red Nation since fall 2018, and it's been such a blessing and honor to participate in the struggle. We struggle for our people and our lands and all of our relations so that we can one day live dignified lives together. So long as we struggle for the liberation of our land and people, we get to keep our humanity. And I'll talk a little bit about the Red Nation, like our political goals and our hopes and dreams for a revolutionary indigenous future. We wrote the Red Deal collectively. The Red Deal, it's not an opposition to the Green New Deal. It picks up where the Green New Deal lacks, and that's it. That we center indigenous people in the Red Deal. We center indigenous sovereignty in the Red Deal. And what it is, it's divided up into three parts. Part one, end the occupation. Part two, heal our bodies. Part three, heal our planet. There are four guiding principles to the Red Deal, and that's what creates crisis cannot solve it. We believe in change from below and to the left. Politicians can't do what only mass movements do, and from theory to action. We're facing a climate catastrophe and crisis, and it's not just Indians who are suffering. We need to reinstate stewardship of the land to those who care for it and those who are the caretakers and keepers of these lands and people, and that's indigenous people all over the world. In solidarity and love, the Red Nation.
That was Justine Kibe from the Pueblo Nation. After her speech, the crowd began to move out onto the streets of Plymouth. As it was a larger gathering, one of the largest I've seen in my 20-plus years of attending this event, there were many first-timers present.
I think it was absolutely amazing to see all of these people come together from all over.
What have you learned today?
I've learned that I need to do a lot of work.
Okay.
I need to make sure that I'm going to help educate other people about what we need to do to help. I think so many people don't know and aren't aware of this history. I think it's something that people just don't even think about in this country.
Well, thank you for thinking about it and being out here today. You've been hearing about this for years, and here you are finally down here. What were your impressions?
I found it very moving. I found it very informative. I found it to be the best way I could think of to spend Thanksgiving Day.
I think so, too. That's why I come here every year. This is your first time here.
Yes, it is my first time here. I'm from Ireland originally. I've lived in the country for about 30 years, and I've always wanted to come down. Heard about this, and this is the first time I've made the effort and also found it possible to do so, and I'm very grateful that I did. It's great to be here in solidarity with all these fine people, interesting people from many, many different places in this country and around the world, and it's very thought-provoking.
The National Day of Mourning is an annual event on Thanksgiving in Plymouth and is organized by UAIN, the United American Indians of New England. For more information about them and the National Day of Mourning, please visit their website, uain.org. That's UAINE.org. Reporting from the streets of Plymouth, I am Chuck Rosino.